This is the Green Student Ministries Middle School Podcast of the Chapel in Green. We are committed to our students being known, knowing Jesus, and becoming kingdom workers. We hope this podcast serves to encourage, challenge, and to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. This is Green Student Ministries.
How are we doing this morning? We doing good so far? Oh, yeah. If you wouldn't say, oh, yeah. It's my favorite. Oh, man. So we are in the second week of our series called Adam's Favorites. That's me. So it's funny, I chose the whole cassette thing, and I kind of explained it last week. But really, I think this, the picture worked well. But I remember, actually, instead of doing tapes, I really did more of CDs. Like, I remember the first time that we bought a computer. This was like giant desktop computer. It was a Dell. And not like the singer, but like it was a Dell computer. And it was, you could burn CDs. So like you could take the song files that were on your computer and you could put them onto a CD. Like it was like magic. It was just like, how does this work? This is witchcraft? What's going on? And my favorite thing wasn't just that you could make a CD. Like I remember going to Walmart with my dad and like buying like a giant pack of like 25 blank CDs. And the only reason that I wanted to make a CD was because with the CD burning software that we had, you could like make album art or like a little sticker that was a circle. And there was like this thing, it was called the CD Stomper. And you'd like put the blank CD there and then it would be like wham! And then it would stick the sticker onto the CD, and so you could like in Word 97, you could like make word art that would be like Adam's favorite songs. And it looked terrible, but I loved it. All right. And so I was just like, man, and I'd carry them around with me. You used to have I had this like zipper case of CDs that I used to carry around with me because it had all my favorite CDs, aka like seven of the CDs that I made, and then like three Toby Mac CDs. All right, because that's all that I owned. Yes, Toby Mac was making music in 1999, so it's been 20 years. He is much older than you think, and I'm also amazed that he's still making music. As I was thinking about that, I was just like, man, I wish I could have got a CD up there and made it look like horrible. So this picture does it way better justice. So we started last week, and the reason is not like so that I can tell you about me. All right. The reason that we're in this series is because, hopefully, like I said earlier, you guys have a couple of verses or passages of scripture even that are very impactful to you, that have maybe changed the course of your life. I hope that scripture does that for you. I hope that God's word has done that for you. In small groups this last week, we even talked through that a little bit. So for those of you that are in small groups tonight, that's a little bit of what you will probably talk about. But we walk through of like, hey, what are some Bible verses? What are some passages in your life that if you had to kind of put together a mixtape or a mixed CD, so to say, of your favorite songs, favorite hits from the Bible, right? What would be in there? Like, what is your go-to? Like, you have a horrible day. What is your go-to? All right, something happens to you, and it's like, where do you run to in Scripture to be reminded of God's promises, of who He is, of who you are? Like, I'm telling you, I needed all of that I could get last night. I'm a Nebraska fan, you guys, I gotta be honest. And Ohio State murdered us last night, just murdered. I know all of you are happy. And so then it's literally like 11 o'clock last night, and I'm just like, the only thing that can help, like, I'm like, I need to read my Bible. Like, Jesus help me, because I'm feeling so sad, all right? And so what are those verses for you that are kind of those go-to moments, those greatest hits for you? And if you don't have those, I would encourage you, man, dig into this and really find verses and passages of Scripture. Like, the only way that you'll know what those are is if you're in this and reading God's word. And so I want to encourage you guys, that's something as followers of Jesus that we should be doing. We don't know how to be obedient, I think, to Jesus if we don't know what he says. And so if you don't know what's in here, it's really, really difficult to follow Jesus in the way that he calls us to through his word. But if you guys do have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and flip to the book of Exodus. It is the second book of the Bible, Genesis, and then Exodus. So we're going back to the Old Testament this morning, and we're going to actually be in Exodus chapters 3 and 4, mostly in 4, but I'll start in 3 and kind of give you guys some background. And I'm also going to set this up a little bit on kind of the way that I've been telling these stories, especially last week, was how at certain moments in my life, Jesus used different parts of his word. Holy Spirit spoke through his word to me, encouraged me or challenged me or called me to things. Remember last week, we talked through John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and I have come that they may have life and life to the full. All right, so we walked through that last week. That was the verse. And for me, that was like I was 18, and that was it. Like, I kind of knew about Jesus, and it was in that moment, that verse, man, the Holy Spirit, he really used that in kind of my salvation story, my testimony of I was over here chasing things that were not good, that were killing me from the inside out. And then Jesus says, no, over here, I have a life that is full and abundant, and it is good, all right? And so I had this moment last week as I talked to you guys about of I had to choose, and God graciously rescued me and called me to himself. It's funny because I say it was a choice, but it really was. It's like, do you want death or life? And the answer is life. And there's no other thing that I would have wanted. And so grateful for that. And that totally changed the course of my life. And so here in Exodus, this passage for me hit me about a little bit less than probably a year later than the John 10:10 passage. So if you think about my kind of timeline, I was 18, I graduated high school, gave my life to Jesus, and then went off to college. And then around October or November, as I was at college, a couple of things started to happen. I was really trying to figure out what I was supposed to do with my life. How many of you guys have taken like assessment tests where it's supposed to tell you like what your career is supposed to be? Have you guys done those yet? They're like, yeah. Or maybe, I don't know, a BuzzFeed quiz of like who, what your job's going to be in 20 years, something like that. I don't know. I don't know. But a lot of us hit that kind of moment where it's like, people are like, what do you want to do when you get older? And it's like, I don't know. And for me, that was my answer. Like, and I was already in college, so I felt like I was way behind the eight ball. Because people are like, so what are you majoring in? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. Like, I'm just here. And I didn't really know. I was like, I was kind of waiting and just trying to figure out what I was supposed to be doing with my life. I picked a major. I basically like closed my eyes and I'm like, that one. Yep, that looks like I could have a career in communications. Great. I don't know what that is, but I'm doing it. And so I jumped into college with a major that I just kind of randomly picked, not sure kind of the direction of my life. I knew that I liked a couple things, right? People are like, what are you passionate about? And I'm like, well, I like to run. That's not going to get me very far. Well, okay. Aha! Yes! Got him. So would you believe me if I told you that just happened? I made that up on the spot. So I knew that I was not going to like be a professional runner. All right, that wasn't gonna get me where I wanted to go. And I thought about other things that I like to do, and there was nothing on my radar that was like, yeah, I'm really excited about this. And so I kind of had a couple of months where I was really just kind of trying to seek the Lord and just being like, God, what do you want me to do? Like, I don't know. I guess if I'm going to do this, if I'm doing communicate, I don't even know what kind of jobs, I don't know what my future holds. Like, I was just kind of in this state of waiting. And in October of my freshman year of college, I had this moment in a chapel service where kind of all these memories flooded back to me of like myself as a middle schooler and a high school kid in youth ministry. And it was like in that moment that I realized that whenever I was, the times that I felt the most alive were One, whenever I was a part of youth ministry, when I was helping other people, and then at the same time when I was in God's Word. And kind of those three things began to circle in my mind for a couple of days, and it was like this immediate realization that, oh my goodness, I think God wants me to be like a pastor thing? I don't know. Like, and I started to talk to my friends about it and some of my professors about it. And as I began to talk through it, they began to kind of affirm that in me and see those things in my life and call that out of like, yeah, maybe this is God kind of leading you in this way and calling you into ministry to do this work. Like some of you think that, like, I just get up here on Sundays. My favorite question from you guys, not really my favorite question, is whenever you guys are like, so what do you do all week? Like, this is my job, just so you guys know. Like, this is it. This is my whole job. I'm here every day, all right, from like 8 to 5. I work in my office. I have an office here at the church, all right? I don't sleep here. I sleep at home. This is where I work. Like, this is my job. Being with you guys, this is my job. Yeah, exactly. Woo! So I love it, all right? But I would tell you that little freshman in college me, all right? I guess I say little. I was always little. Little freshman in college me had a lot of doubts about the idea of me being a pastor or being in ministry because I knew myself, and I was like, thinking back to where I'd come from and kind of my past and all those things, I was just like, man, there's no way, God, that you would call me into this. There's no way that you would pick me for this. Like, I'm just me. I'm a screw up. I'm no good. Like, I'm just trying to figure this out. Like, why would you want to use me? There's no way. And so that leads us to kind of this moment where this passage really kind of changed the course then at that point of where my heart was and how I felt God calling me and the things that he was teaching me and kind of his faithfulness in the midst of my own doubts. Believe it or not, yeah, I didn't think that. There was a couple times where I didn't think that this was for me, where I'm just like, no, I could never do that. There's no way. There's not a chance. And so I took a day where I was like, you know what? I'm just going to try and have like a day alone with God. And this is when I lived in Texas. So I was in college and I went home for like one of the holidays and I'm like, I'm going to spend a day alone with God. And there is a canyon about 15 minutes outside of the town that I lived. It's called Palo Duro Canyon. It's the second biggest canyon in America, but you didn't know there was even more than one, all right? There's the Grand Canyon, and then there's Palo Duro Canyon, which is not as grand, but it's still a canyon. And it just kind of, like, appears. Like, you look out, it's like flat farmland, but then, like, if you get close enough, it's like all of a sudden you just, like, look, and it's like, and there's a giant hole in the ground, all right? And so I used to go hiking there and like we would find caves and go in there with all our friends and it was just like, it was beautiful, the nature in there, it was awesome. And I took a day where I drove down into the canyon. You don't get any cell reception, which also feels a little dangerous because there's like rattlesnakes and stuff down in there, all right? And I ran into a couple of them. You hear them and then you run away, all right? You just away every time. And there's cactus and stuff and like, part of me is like, this is very dangerous. I don't have any cell service down here. You can't. It's not like you like fall or get bit and you can just like run up the hill, like run out of the canyon and be like, oh, somebody help. Like you're probably going to die in there. So welcome to Texas. So I took my Bible with me and I began to kind of like try and find this spot for me to sit and just read and maybe just say, all right, hey, God, what do you want to say to me today? What do you want to teach me? And I just wanted to take some time to listen to God. And I even was like, all right, where should I start reading? And so I just kind of started at the beginning. I read a little bit of Genesis. And then after that, I was like, oh, maybe I'll flip to Exodus and see what God has. And in that moment, I was sitting outside kind of like just on this rock. And all of a sudden, a storm rolled in, which is very odd for Amarillo. We get less than 10 inches of rain a year.
So it's technically a desert. So it does not rain often. But when it rains, it rains. Like, there is, yeah, when it rains, it pours. It rains so little that they don't even have a sewer system, like in town. Like, when it rains here, you know how the water, like, runs off into those, like, drains and those grates and stuff so that it doesn't flood everywhere? Amarillo doesn't have that. And so when it rains, it always floods. Always. And so I'm down in this canyon, like, in this hole, all right? And so when it rains, holes tend to fill up, all right? And so I saw that the storm was coming in. It starts raining. I kind of climb up to higher ground a little bit, and then I find this cave that I had not ever seen before. And so I turn the corner, and I walk into this cave, and I sit down, and it's just like pouring rain. And in that moment, I felt the strong urge to begin to read Scripture. And so here then is what I begin to read in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land with flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So stop right there. So here is this moment where Moses comes face to face with God in this burning bush. And not only is it this encounter with God, but God has something for Moses, a call on his life here. Many of us know this story, right? This is Moses, the deliverer, the one who helped rescue and free the Israelite people out from under the slavery of the Egyptians. And so this is a call for Moses to go as God has commanded him. And so in that moment, all of a sudden, I'm just like, man, this sounds kind of familiar. This is weird. Because I had also been walking through that and trying to figure out, what does it look like to be called to ministry? What does it look like to be called into something like this? In verse 11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And in that verse, I was just like, that's me. Like, in that verse, I'm just like, that's literally almost the same thing that I have been saying to God. When he's been challenging me and pushing me and saying, this is what I want you to do. This is what I'm calling you into. You are going into ministry. This is what I'm calling you into. And my response is the same as Moses in that moment of, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? I got to tell you guys, like, if you could see the full timeline of my life, and who I was as a middle school and into high school, what kind of a kid I was, what kind of a person I was, and how badly and desperately I needed Jesus, you would never have looked at my life and said, yeah, that's the guy that Jesus is going to use to be a pastor or a minister. Like, that's just not for him. That's not going to happen. And so I, in the same way, I'm just like, who am I? Why me? No, not me. Verse 12, he said, but I will be with you. And this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. So imagine I'm sitting here and I'm reading this and it's like raining all around me. There's nobody around me probably for at least a mile. Maybe the campground's close by. But I am all alone in this cave that I have found. And for some reason, I decided to read this out loud. Which is like, that's an odd thing to think about. Like, have you ever just like read scripture out loud to yourself? Some of you maybe have. I don't know. I'd never done that at that point. And so it was like kind of echoing through the cave. And I was kind of getting goosebumps. I'm like, okay, what's going on? And so here, I see myself consistently. We're in verse 13, Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. So right, so Moses here, he's like, well, who should I say sent me? And he begins all kind of through the rest of this chapter. I'm gonna fast forward to chapter 4 here in a second. But it's like, who should I say sent me? And he begins to try to come up with excuses, and that escalates in chapter 4. And so now I've been reading this out loud. The water, the rain outside is continuing to increase. All right, it started to kind of trickle into the cave that I'm sitting in. And so here we go, chapter 4, then I'm reading this out loud. Then Moses answered, but behold, they won't believe me or listen to my voice. Again, excuses, excuses, excuses. For they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. The Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? He said, a staff. And he said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground and it became a serpent and Moses ran from it. But the Lord said to Moses, put out your hand and catch it by the tail. So he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. All right, so then that excuse, gone, cut out. Tell them that I am sent you. Okay, well, what if they don't believe me? All right, well, throw your stick on the ground, and it'll become a snake. Like, I've got you covered, all right? Do this, and then they'll listen, all right? That they may believe that I am sent you. And then verse 6, chapter 4. Again, the Lord said to him, put your hand inside your cloak, right? So he gave him one sign, and then he's like, okay, here's another one. Put your hand inside your cloak, and he put his hand inside his cloak, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. How freaky would that be if you stick your hand in your pocket, and you pull it out, and it's like withered and shriveling and white, and like it looks diseased. That's crazy. And when he took it out, behold, so he said, put your hand back inside your cloak. So he puts it back in. And when he took it out, behold, it was restored like the rest. So it's like, okay, now it's normal again. This is crazy. If they will not believe you, verse 8, God said, or listen to the first sign, they may believe the latter sign. So, right, he doesn't just give him like one thing. He's like, well, if they don't believe that, then also here's this backup one, just in case. All right? Verse 9, if they will not believe even these two signs or listen to your voice, you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground, and the water that you shall take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. So, right, three signs that he gives to him of like, I've got you, I've got your back, I've got you covered. They will listen. Right? Moses, a stubborn dude, verse 10, says to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. All right, and this is probably one of, this is another one of the verses. It's funny because both of them are verse 11 in each chapter that I felt like really resonated and spoke to me in probably the two biggest ways. And it's this moment where he's just like, I'm not a good talker. Like, he's like, I don't speak good, all right? I don't do this well. How could you pick me, all right? I can do the signs, I can do that, but I can't, if I open my mouth, they're not going to believe me. They're not going to listen to me. And I began to, I thought the same thing. I'm like, I looked at people that taught God's word, and I'm just like, they know way more than I do. They can get up front and share stories and do things that I could never do. I can't be that, God. And so I pushed back even because I'm, in this moment, as I'm reading this, it's like I'm on Moses' team. I'm just like, yeah, Moses, you tell him why we can't do this, all right? It's not going to work. And in that moment, I read this verse, and I'm kidding you not, guys. This is why this passage for me is huge and so, just affirming of what I believe the Lord has called me to do. This, oh my Lord, verse 10, I am not eloquent either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and tongue. And it was like, as I read that out loud, it's just like, yes, like that's what I think too. Like, God, why would you pick me? Why would you call me? Why would you choose me? You've made a mistake. And in this weird, crazy moment, it's raining, it's pouring outside. There's this like back part of the cave where all of a sudden, like, this water just like starts rushing through like to my left. I'm up on a rock. I'm sitting like the cave's over my head. I'm sitting in there reading this passage out loud. It's like echoing through the cave. And all of a sudden, right as I get to this verse, the water like breaks through and it's just like this huge rushing waterfall sound through the cave. And then verse 11 says, then the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf? Or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. Like, that was it. That was it. I'm just like, all right, I'm in. Here I am. Like, I'm doing it. I don't have any other excuses. And it was this moment for me that in my life that God used his word to speak to me by the power of his Holy Spirit, where it's just like, it's in this moment. And the beauty of this is that this passage can speak to all of us, where I think so many of us, we have an excuse after excuse after excuse of, God, I can't, God, I won't, it's not going to work, I can't follow you right now. Maybe later when I've got it together, when I've graduated college, when I've got a job, when I'm financially secure, when I've got my family life together, when everything is going well, then we'll figure this whole Jesus thing out. That's not the way that it works at all. Jesus wants you to follow him, and he wants to use your life now. No matter how many excuses you think you can come up with, no matter how many excuses you think that you have, God will always do you one better. Because he says, I will be with you. Because it's in this moment that I was reminded that it's not me who speaks, and it's not me who teaches or preaches, but it's God. Like, I'm just up here, you guys. And I'm still me. I have a lot of faults. I have a lot of things that if you really took a hard look and you looked at my past, you would say, that guy? And the beautiful thing, the most beautiful thing in that is that Jesus has done the same thing, and he knows my life, my heart, my mind, my past, and where I've been better than anyone. And in the midst of all that, he said, you. I choose you. And my response, my first response is always like, it's just, what? What do you mean, me? What do you mean, you? Don't make excuses. God is calling you into his work. It may not look like this. It may not mean standing up on a stage in front of other people. And it may not mean preaching. It may not being a pastor. But at the same time, he's calling you to love and to care for those around you. He's calling for you to know him, to be obedient to him, to know his word, and to do his work. And the best thing is that it's not you doing it. It's him. Through you, in you. If you allow yourself to be used by him. Moses makes his last cry for help in verse 13. He says, "Oh my Lord, please send someone else." Like, it's constant. Moses is really, he is stubborn. And so am I. Send someone else. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "Is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth." So God, even in his mercy here, he almost gives Moses an out here, and he's just like, "All right, you know what? Fine, you and Aaron will do it together. All right, you don't have to do it. I'm with you, but just because you still don't trust me, I'm going to give you Aaron. All right, you guys do it together." And so the excuses are, they've all dried up. They're all gone. And so this passage for me, you guys, it's in that moment that I realize that I'm like, okay, God's calling me into something, and I'm out of excuses. And so the question that I'd ask you this morning is, what is your excuse? What's the thing in your life that you, if you feel like God is calling you into something, into a friendship, into a conversation with somebody, into acting on his behalf, into doing what he calls you to do, what for you is the most consistent excuse that comes up time and time again? Sometimes it may not even be an excuse. Sometimes it may just be fear. Fear of what other people will think of you, of what will happen to you. Again, to you, because it's so easy for us to think about ourselves and what's going on here when God calls us into something that's more than that. So what's your excuse? What's the thing that you feel like is keeping you back from being obedient to Jesus, to following him with everything that you have, from experiencing the life to the full that he promises? What is that thing that pulls you back? What's your excuse? I'm serious. Think about that. I love you guys, and please know that I've been there. Your leaders have been where you are now, most of us. Life's difficult, and it's tough to be a middle schooler, to be in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. It is. It's difficult. But I know that Jesus, even now, wants to use you guys for his kingdom. He wants to call you to be kingdom workers. He wants to call you to be his hands and his feet at your schools. And so what's your excuse? And so let's pray together, and I'll invite the band back up, and even as we pray, just that would come to mind, and that God would give you good reason to throw those excuses away. So Jesus, we love you. We thank you for this morning. Thank you for the way that your word speaks loudly to us. God, you speak to us, you teach us, not always even in these grand moments, even like the story that I shared this morning about the cave. God, there have been so often other times where you speak through just quiet moments of reflection and prayer, like this one. It doesn't have to be some freak act of nature to draw our attention to you, God, but just your word and your spirit is enough to draw us to you, to teach us, and to make us look more like you. So we love you. And as we worship, pray that you would just get all the glory this morning. It's in your pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Green Student Ministries Middle School Podcast of the Chapel in Green. If you have any questions or concerns, feel free to contact us at gsm@thechapel.life or follow us on Instagram @Green Student Ministries. We would love to hear from you. Thanks for listening.